our brothers and sisters, at this time for that much needed word of exhortation. I would ask our brother Bernard Burt to come forward and lead us in that, please.
My beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, can we open, please, for the seventh time this morning to Matthew 23 and verse 23, that verse which forms the theme of this Bible school. Matthew 23, verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. It was in April of this year that I received an email from Brother Skip asking me to give the exhortation at this memorial meeting. And immediately my mind started turning over. What can I say? Well, my hap happened that night to be sitting up in bed reading the Christadelphian magazine, 1887, the series written by Brother Roberts on the life of Christ, which is now published in the book Nazareth Revisited. And I was reading page 256 and Brother Roberts comments on this very verse. And he speaks about the way in which the scribes and the Pharisees neglected the weightier matters of the law. And that's the way Young's Literal Translation renders it. Ye have neglected the weightier matters of the law. And I read it out to Sister Tracy, and she said, there's your theme for your exhortation. So here it is. The Pharisees neglected the weightier matters of the law. And as Brother Jim has already taken us to Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says to us there, that except our righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, we will in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So what we want to do this morning by way of exhortation is to look at those scribes and Pharisees in relation to the three great themes of this Bible school, and then look at him whom we have met to remember in this bread and this wine, who is the perfect example of not neglecting the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith, that we might be warned by the negative example of the scribes and Pharisees, and encouraged and exhorted by the positive example of the one whom we remember. So let's turn then to the Gospel record of John and chapter 1, as we look first at judgment. And here we have the record concerning John the Baptist. John chapter 1 and verse 19. And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And they asked him 7 questions, and he answered them all. And they had enough information there to go away and make their judgment as to who he was. Later in the Gospels, in the record of the ministry of the Lord Jesus, they came to him and they said, by what authority doest thou these things? And he said, answer me this question. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And they said, we cannot tell. They had neglected to make a judgment on John the Baptist. They probably had made one, but they dare not make it public. So in public, they had no answer to give. They were not, as Brother Jim has shown us this morning, honest men. They were not true men. And so they could not answer. But they could tell you everything there was to know about tithing herbs. That's a warning to us. We can focus in our lives and in our ecclesias on things which are trivial. We can spend much of our ecclesial lives making judgments on things to do with places and times and orders of meetings, about furnishings and fittings and other peripheral things which have little to do with the developing of the character of God. And we can neglect to come to clear conclusions on the key issues of doctrine and practice and fellowship and the spiritual development of our children and our young people. Jesus never did this. Turn with me to John chapter 5 and verse 22. John 5 verse 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And look now with me through the Gospel of John at the judgments which he gave forth. Verse 42, to the scribes and Pharisees, I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. There's his judgment upon them. Chapter 6 and verse 36, I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. There's his verdict upon them. Verse 64, but there are some of you, his disciples, that believe not. Clear judgment. Verse 70. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. He uttered forth his judgments, clearly, incisively. No one was left in any doubt what he thought on these matters. And Jesus, as the judge, always spoke the truth. John chapter 1 and verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That virtue to which Brother Jim has been exhorting us in his first class. Emet is the Old Testament Hebrew word. He was full of it. Honesty and integrity marked everything he said. Look at chapter 8 and verse 16. John 8 verse 16. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. Chapter 18 and verse 37. Jesus now before Pilate. John 18 verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into this world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. The wicked and evil world in which we live neither knows nor speaks truth. We must, in all our dealings, one with another, and out there in the world, manifesting the example of the character of our Father. The Pharisees were also a people who did not understand the mercy of God as it is taught and manifested in the Old Testament. Turn with me now to Luke chapter 13 and verse 10. The Pharisees said, this people which knoweth not the law is accursed. Luke 13 and verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from her infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus hath healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, in them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall, and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. The ruler of the synagogue had indignation over a woman who had just glorified God for the work that had been done in her. We have to understand the mercy of God and then manifest it in our lives. Look with me at David and Jonathan, the first book of Samuel and chapter 20. Here were men who understood and manifested the mercy of God. 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 8. Here is David speaking to Jonathan on the occasion when he is not going to go and eat with Saul. Therefore shalt thou deal kindly, chesed, mercy, mercifully with thy servant, for thou hast brought thy servant into a covenant of the Lord with thee. Notwithstanding, if there be in me iniquity, slay me. For why shouldest thou bring me to thy father? Verse 14. And thou shalt not only yet while I live show kindness, hesed, show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So David and Jonathan spoke to each other of the kindness of Yahweh. And Jonathan caused David to swear. They made a covenant because he loved him, for he loved him as his own soul. Now turn to the second book of Samuel and chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9 is in the midst of all David's campaigns as he extends the boundaries of his kingdom to that which God had promised to his father Abraham. In the midst of all that warfare and all that planning, verse 1 of 2 Samuel 9, David said, is there yet any left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness, hesed, mercy, for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God? It's the very phrase that Jonathan used in 1 Samuel chapter 20 unto him. And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar. So King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness, mercy, for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called unto Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to his house. So David remembered And he manifested that characteristic which he had seen in his God and had seen in his friend Jonathan. And we must learn to do likewise. It does not, as we shall see in the classes, come naturally. If we desire to see life, and David undoubtedly will, we have to manifest this characteristic. And the supreme example of it is our Lord Jesus Christ. Time and again, and we shall look at this in our sixth class, we shall read of his mercy and his compassion. It was directed toward Jew and Gentile alike. Jesus was concerned with spiritual needs, but he didn't neglect the physical either. We have come to remember him, but it must not stop with the memorials. We must learn from him to do. As Brother Jim has already directed our attention to Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. We have to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly before our God. So as we sit now before these emblems, we need to examine ourselves and search our hearts with some questions. How much mercy do I manifest in my life? How could I become more merciful towards my brothers and sisters, towards those who are in darkness in the world around? And so we turn to faith. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 28. The Pharisees were a people in whom there was no faith. Matthew 21 and verse 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go to work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not, but after he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They said unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. Publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. They would not believe the evidence of their own eyes. And it was of them that Jesus spoke those words in Matthew 23:23. Ye have neglected the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Even the disciples did not find faith easy. John chapter 14 and verse 10. In the upper room, in that long discourse, which I believe really is the first exhortation at the first breaking of bread. John 14 and verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. So how about us, brothers and sisters? How strong is our faith? Do we really believe him and his words? Or have we neglected faith? How much does the truth matter in our lives? Are our lives actually affected daily by the things that we profess to believe? How strong will our faith be in the day of our death? Our Lord had supreme faith at that moment. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. He put his life in the hands of his Father. And I believe that he completed the quotation from Psalm 31, verse 5, when he rose to newness of life. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Could we do that? One of the interesting things about this school is the way in which these three themes, these three subjects that we have this year, are going to interact. We've seen that already in Brother Jim's first class. Your three class leaders have been in email correspondence with one another during the preparation of these studies. But what is the interaction, the interrelationship between judgment, mercy, and faith? Well, that's why we read Joshua chapter 2. We're not going to go there straight away. I'd like you to turn first to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Because Joshua chapter 2 is an amazing chapter. And it magnificently brings together these three facets of our Bible school theme. But in Deuteronomy chapter 7, we have Moses' instructions to the children of Israel before they crossed the river Jordan. And this is what he said to them. Deuteronomy 7 verse 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and have cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy you suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. That's the aspect of judgment that Brother Jim has said he's not going to talk about in his classes. But that's what they were to do to the Canaanites. The iniquity of the Amorites was now full. The time of judgment for those nations had come. No covenant, no mercy, no marriages, destroy. But when they came, Joshua chapter 2, to the house of Rahab, what did they find? Joshua chapter 2 and verse 9. And she said unto the men, I know that Yahweh hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how Yahweh dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt. And what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any courage in any one, in any man, because of you. For Yahweh your Elohim, he is Elohim in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by Yahweh, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. What did they find? We might take the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And what did Rahab say? Verse 12. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by Yahweh, since I have showed you mercy, chesed, that ye will also show mercy, chesed, unto my father's house, and give me a true emeth, token. show me mercy and truth, she said. And how did these executors of the wrath of God upon the Canaanites respond to her? Verse 14. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when Yahweh hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly, hesed, and truly, emeth, with you, with thee. What were they doing? They were manifesting the character of their God, which had been declared at Mount Sinai. When they saw faith, they did not bring down upon that house the wrath of God, but they showed the mercy of God. And that's our task, brothers and sisters. Rahab belonged to a condemned race, and she was a sinner. The judgment of God was about to fall upon her and her people. Yet she had faith. And a young man of the tribe of Judah came to her. He extended the mercy of God to her. He saved her, and he took her as his bride. Mercy rejoiced against judgment. We, brothers and sisters, belong to a condemned race. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The judgment of God is about to fall upon this present evil world. The only thing that will save us is faith. If we manifest faith, then through the work of another young man of the tribe of Judah, whom we are going to remember now in bread and in wine, the mercy of God can come to us. And that work which he accomplished can save us, that we may become part of his bride. Let us remember him now in the way that he appointed.